right, good morning. Great to have you aboard the WIB Wake Up Show, WWIB. First thoughts coming up on quarter to six. And I don't know, I'm in a good mood, I guess, as a sports fan. Well, a couple of things. First, there's nothing like a good night's sleep, and I feel like I had one last night. Did wake up around 2 in the morning, and it crossed my mind, you could get up and start the day, but passed on that. And so 2 hours later, coming out of bed, and I got Michael's kind of working overnights these days, so he gets home around 4 in the morning, so that's interesting and maybe a little more challenging. Like, just a reminder, some people, not me, but my wife, still trying to sleep. So anyhow, but also, I don't know, as a hoops fan, March Madness kicking off today, the men's basketball tournament, the women's. I've paid more attention to the men's over the years, but, you know, Caitlin Clark a couple of years ago kind of raised our interest in women's college hoops, and good to see that she's healthy playing for the U.S. these days. So, and the boys' state high school basketball tournament going on in Madison, so this is the March Madness. We've got our own Hope in Hoops going on, inviting you to be a partner. Would you please take us up on our invite by going to WIB.com and clicking on the banner at the bottom of the page. Get your pledge sheet and, again, financially support yourself, making a basket of whatever. We're seeing all sorts of takes on this. In the most recent, meaning a laundry basket where somebody shot some of those little cuties, a 90-year-old grandma that I know very well, Doris, and thanks to the Tuesday ladies at Valley Brook Church in Eau Claire for their support. We got our own fun with the hoops going on. Well, it's brackets, at least. It's our own CCM song tournament. Jamie McDonald, Mercy Me, Four King and Country have all advanced to the second round. Today, a great matchup. Lauren Daigle, a song from Lauren Daigle against a song from Josiah Queen. Lauren, the 8 seed, Josiah, the 9 seed. That's this morning after 7:15 here, and we'll hear from the two nominators before each of those respective songs. And then we'll close it out tomorrow for the week with a Ren Collective song against a Zach Williams song and see who moves on in our CCM song tournament. All right, well, it is today in history, and for that, we go to this day in 1962. It was a little before my time, actually, but 1962, Bob Dylan's self-titled debut album was released on this day.
Rambling out of the Wild West, leaving the towns I love the best. Thought I'd seen some ups and downs till I come into New York town.
The singer-songwriter was just 20 years old at the time. And also in 2003, 2 days after President George W. Bush gave Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein an ultimatum to go into exile or face military action, the U.S. military began airstrikes against Iraq, with Bush telling the American people... Yep, let's take it again, George, from the top, if we could, please.
The people of the United States and our friends and allies will not live at the mercy of an outlaw regime that threatens the peace with weapons of mass murder.
On this day, back in 2003. All right, finally, we close it out. First thoughts with our morning devotion from Bob Goff's Live in Grace, Walk in Love for March 19th. It's... If we avoid being identified with people we disagree with, we've traded in God's brand of love for popularity. Mark 1:38 says, Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. Goff says, a few of my best friends happen to be creative geniuses. Think Einstein with a paintbrush or a Moleskine making word pictures. I've learned a lot about the power of well-told stories from them, but even better, I've watched them live beautiful lives. They've taught me we're all constantly telling a story with the things we share online, the people we hang out with, the way we engage or react to the events around us, and the words we use. Brands are what cowboys put on cattle, not what we call our love. The way they engage their lives is more like a watermark. It's something you only really see when you hold it up to the light. These days, says Goff, I pay more attention to people's patterns than their statements. Some are like an all-night television show, all theology all the time. Others focus on business and making money. We each have our own metrics for how we define success and contribution to the world. Goff says, have you noticed that someone will say something a certain group thinks is great, but another group will tear it to shreds? Or maybe someone will have a bad day and their tribe will send love and support for all to see, but those who have a different worldview are slow to encourage. They might even be a little combative or give off the impression that they're quietly delighting in the headwinds someone else is facing. It goes beyond these things. Goff says, Jesus invited us to walk in a different way. He wasn't concerned with who people saw him associate with. He was an image bearer, not an image maker. He was seen with religious leaders and loose women at the same events. He didn't care about money or status. He cared about the state of people's hearts. He showed us how to tear down the walls that divide us. If we avoid being identified with people we disagree with, we join the crowds. We've traded in God's brand of love for popularity. We're just one more voice calling for Barabbas. Be like Jesus instead. Stand in silence if you need to, but offer words of hope to all, whether you agree with them or not. Jesus was more concerned with seeing other people than managing how they saw him. Today's question, what would be different if you cared less about your image and more about loving others? Yes, what would be different if you cared less about your image and more about loving others?
Hi, this is Tammy Nelson. I'm sorry, I have a cold. But I'm going with the prodigal because we've all lost our way a time or two. And I know sometimes we just get overwhelmed. But like Josiah Queen himself said, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, well, this is a sign for you. Thank you.
Hey, WWIB listeners, family, Mark and Caleb, it's Aaron Libner here. When voting and decide between Lauren Daigle and Josiah Queen, I hope that you'll think of the dads and daughters out there like me and mine who love listening WIB, where we bond. And Lauren's music has been a bridge for us to grow closer to each other and closer to Jesus. You Say is an anthem of her childhood right now. Help us keep the message going strong, and please cast your vote for Lauren Daigle. Thank you.
Josiah Queen, aided by a family vote, which was 4 for Josiah Queen and 1 for Lauren Daigle. But other than that, it's been largely Lauren Daigle with a 4-vote lead. So.
Yeah, and in the WIB Wake Up Show Facebook group. And again, please don't just comment anywhere in the WIB Wake Up Show Facebook group. It's the most recent post that we posted at 7:15 this morning that says voting is open. It says The Prodigal by Josiah Queen versus You Say by Lauren Daigle. That's where you vote. So please make sure to vote there. And a lot of support for Lauren so far. I think a couple votes have come in for Josiah Queen, but he's going to need to make a comeback. 12 minutes to do so, so lots of time. But so far, Lauren out to a nice lead.
Boy, the voting has picked up here between our two songs this morning, Josiah Queen's The Prodigal and Lauren Daigle's You Say.
Yeah, Josiah Queen making a comeback bid here. Now, what, 9 minutes left to vote, so still plenty of time for it to go one way or the other. But folks taking advantage of the fact that you can vote twice. We encourage that, once by text, 715-396-1670. And also you can vote once in the WIB Wake Up Show Facebook group. Again, not a page, it's a private group. Ask to be let in. If you're not part of that already, we'll let you right in. And as always, family votes are welcome. We just ask that you be honest with it and actually ask each member of your family who they would vote for, and then vote away. Family groups welcome.
And a family vote of 9 really boosting Josiah Queen, putting him in the lead. So now it's Lauren Daigle that needs some help to come from behind. Well, there were 2 ways to vote in our contest this morning, our CCM Song Showdown, where you, the listeners, nominate an artist and then have a different song every round. And we started with Tammy going with Josiah Queen's The Prodigal, with Lauren Daigle's You Say, the second song nominated by Aaron. And at least on the talk and text line, there was a sizable lead there for Lauren Daigle's You Say, and then a large family vote even things up. So it's going to come down to what the WIB Wake Up Show Facebook group, and Caleb has done his...
I'm doing my tallying, making sure. I want to make sure that I get this right here. But we do have a differential, and so Lauren Daigle started out, it was just all voting for Lauren Daigle, then some family votes starting to weigh in, and again, family votes are welcome as long as you're honest about it and actually survey the people in your family and don't just say, oh, we have this many where they're going to all vote for what I want.
Maybe as there long was some as big family breakfast today.
Yeah, as long as you're honest about it, and I love, I think Jana posted, she's like, 5 for 1, 2 for the other. She's like, kind of intense family voting here as they're debating that. So the winner is... Josiah Queen, The Prodigal, winning and moving on. Josiah Queen pulling a slight upset, a 9 seed over an 8 seed, right?
All right, yes. Congratulations to Tammy, and her artist moves on. Bummer there for Aaron and his daughter, but hey, thanks so much for participating. And Josiah Queen moves on to face Mercy Me in the second round, but we got to take care of some more first-round matchups, like tomorrow, Ren Collective with a tune against a song from the underdog, Zach Williams. All right, time for some lighthearted learning.
As the weather starts getting nicer, maybe start thinking about summer plans and where you might like to go, where you might like to take the family. Well, museums are always a good choice, right? Here are some odd museums that you could visit.
For instance, there is a Center for the History of Foot Care in Philadelphia. Not the first thing you think of with the City of Brotherly Love. This was originally part of the Temple University School of Podiatric Medicine. While the school remains, the formal museum collection is no longer a public-facing attraction.
Well, here's one you could go to, Marvin Johnson's Gourd Museum. It's in North Carolina. After Marvin passed, his nephew Mark took over. It's now located on the grounds of the Angier Public Library in North Carolina. And a gourd museum dedicated to all things gourds.
Okay, forgive me if that's not at the top of my list, but how about the Museum of Clean in Pocatello, Idaho? It's founded by cleaning guru Don Aslett. I think I interviewed him back in the day. This massive 75,000 square foot complex isn't just about vacuums, though it has hundreds. It explores the concept of clean in everything from politics to teeth to air.
Interesting. Odd museums that you can actually visit. We'll have more for you later in the hour here on the WIB Wake Up Show. This one gives me the heebie-jeebies. The U.S. National Tick Collection at Georgia Southern University. While it's the largest collection in the world, it functions primarily as a research facility rather than a walk-in tourist museum. Good, because if the ticks are alive, I don't want to be anywhere near.
Mm-mm. This one's short, sweet, to the point. It's the Quail Vice Presidential Learning Center in Huntington, Indiana. It focuses on the history of all U.S. vice presidents, of which Dan Quayle from Indiana was one.
That is interesting. How about Barney Smith's Toilet Seat Art Museum? That's in The Colony, Texas. After the passing of its founder, this collection of over 1,400 decorated toilet seats was moved from a San Antonio garage to the Truck Yard Beer Garden. It remains a free public attraction where the legacy of the king of the commode, Barney Smith, lives on. I'd never heard of him before.
We all go, right? So, yeah, wow, that's different for sure. And finally, we'll wrap up segment one on odd museums with the Museum of Questionable Medical Devices. Caleb, this is in Minneapolis.
Okay, so an hour and a half away.
Yeah, the original independent museum closed when Bob McCoy retired, but the collection was donated to the Science Museum of Minnesota in St. Paul, where many pieces are still on display. Round two of odd museums.
Yes, continuing giving you places that you could go maybe on a road trip this summer. How about this one? The Hair Museum in Independence, Missouri. Sadly, the museum officially closed last year, September 2025, following the passing of founder Layla Cahoon. The family is currently rehoming the collection to other museums. So the Hair Museum you can no longer visit. Sorry about that. It's kind of a big buildup for a huge letdown.
All right, here's another one. The International Cryptozoology Museum. That's a mouthful.
That is.
It's in Bangor, Maine, originally located in Portland, Maine, I believe. For two decades, this museum, dedicated to Bigfoot, Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster, and other hidden animals, is currently in the middle of a major move. A lot of things happening with these odd museums. It's scheduled to officially reopen in its new, larger home in Bangor on April 1st.
No fooling. How about that? Actually really sounds interesting. The Museum of Bad Art in Boston, Massachusetts. This gallery dedicated to, quote, art too bad to be ignored, has found a permanent home in the Dorchester Brewing Company taproom. Visitors can view a rotating selection of sincere but hilariously failed artistic attempts.
That sounds funny.
It does.
How about the Spam Museum? It's right in Austin, Minnesota. I'm not kidding. They have it. It's a 14,000 square foot facility celebrating the world's most famous canned meat, with interactive exhibits and spamples, like samples, handed out by spamassadors. It remains a free high-tech tribute to the blue and yellow tin.
Shouldn't that be spambassadors? I wonder if that's a typo.
Yeah.
How about in New Orleans, Louisiana? This one's a little different, but the Historic Voodoo Museum, located in the heart of the French Quarter since 1972. It's a small but dense museum, focuses on the history, folklore, and rituals of voodoo practices in New Orleans. So that's a little different.
Having come from Africa for a couple of school years, I can tell you, I mean, that's a big, right? I mean, we're trying to bring Christianity up against the credibility they put in voodoo. A couple more. The Hammer Museum. This is in Haines, Alaska. You got to go a long way for this. It's the world's first museum dedicated entirely to the history of the hammer.
Huh.
It houses over 2,000 specimens ranging from the ancient stone tools to specialized medical and trade hammers, all displayed in a colorful building in rural Alaska.
That actually does interest
me. It does sound interesting.
One more odd museums, places that you can visit for the most part. In L.A., California, the Museum of Broken Relationships.
Kinda
this
sad.
Is a real place.
Kind of sad.
A North American branch of the original Croatian concept, so it started overseas. This museum displays everyday objects donated by anonymous individuals, along with the stories of the heartbreaks they represent. That is really sad.
It is.
It serves as a moving, often quirky exploration of human connection.
Wow.
Be kind.
We've worked our way this hour through a number of odd museums, many of which are still open, not all of them.